come back with the students.
We're doing the Ramban. You have a copy down there, the red book under Yeshaya, Torat Hashem Tmima. And we were learning his intro about Torah, and he gave us a sentence which we really, if you bring it to me, I can try to find it, which we really pondered about, where he said, without Torah, a person wouldn't know how he should behave. And we asked, what about the conscience, and what about the obligation of the Noahides? And we said that we're going to have to quantify what he's talking about when he says, without Torah, you don't really know how to behave. So, we're over here, Ramban. Ve'im da'ato, we're on page Chafchet in the Beit Yain edition, page Zain in the Chazon Yol edition. ואם דעתו שכלו של אדם בלא מלמד נותן לו לחשוב בחידוש לפי שאין הגלגל מנהיג עצמו אלא זולתו מניעו כמו שהזכרנו מכל מקום מנצלו לא מצווה ולא עבירה. Even if you could figure out that there's got to be a creator here, how did everything come about, nonetheless, that doesn't give you an understanding of what Hashem wants you to do or prohibits you from doing. ולא דעת לא חשבון, nor does that obligate one to figure out what is Hashem bringing us all to an accounting ultimately? Does he connect with humanity? Does he know what we're doing here? And when one doesn't have Torah, so then you can't figure out that one action is better than another. And we said that this is, the Ramban says it in one sentence, but this is a whole philosophy. And that's the question, would a human being really be able to figure out that incest is prohibited? Is there any logic for explaining it? And we discussed that modern philosophy has come to the conclusion that a lot of the things that we take for granted as being evil, such as murder, cannot be proven as being bad. You can say it's uncomfortable, it's what you wouldn't want done to yourself, but you can't exactly prove this idea that there's an ethic, that there's a moral, that there's something that's bad. You can say, I sense it. You can't logically prove it. So if we have a whole society that are cannibals, go, why not? Or at least, like I always like to question when people question Torah, so I like asking back, why don't we eat human beings? And let's begin with the question, why don't we eat them when they die? Isn't it a waste? Why do you bury them? When a person dies, you know, we should all make a barbecue. Why not? So, explain that to me, because we're accustomed to it differently. Ah, no, we speak about a soul, we speak about spirituality, we speak about a human being something different. There's a difference between eating an animal and a human being, but if you don't say that, then you have a hard time. Why is a human being different? Why can you eat an animal and not eat a human being? So some will say you can't eat an animal, and I say, where do you draw the line? And do you look at anyone who eats an animal like someone who would eat a human being? I mean, we slaughter animals to eat them. Now, what about retarded people?
I'm saying,
we're,
like a cow, exactly. You would be just told, you know, those people are walking around and people are starving.
So, the Ramban is saying a concept which is actually argued. Not everyone agrees with him. The Ramban is saying that if you didn't have Torah, you'd have nothing. And we have to question that. Is that so obvious? And does the Ramban mean it all out as far as we're taking it?
You said it, though. You answered it in your opening statement when you said, you know you wouldn't want it done to you. If you could empathize with other people, that's already 90% there.
That's a big discussion, because right now in Africa, what's happening with the tribal warfare is that they're training children to be murderers. Yeah. Now the question is, can you untrain them and can you hold them accountable? Do you say Tinok Shenishba about the most basic elementary morals that a person should have? Can you say Tinok Shenishba? Can you say they're not accountable because they were trained from the time they were 7 to be murderers? They saw murder before their eyes. They saw that whoever wasn't a murderer was getting killed.
Well, there's no question that we have to kill them before they kill us, but it doesn't mean they're accountable.
Oh, so that's...
He blows himself up and he's indoctrinated at age 4 that this is the highest thing to do, but I know I...
Oh, so we usually don't say that. We usually say that being indoctrinated is not an excuse for transgressing the Noahide laws. Usually we don't say that. I'm just saying, according to the Ramban, we have to question whether what the Ramban is, the path the Ramban is taking us on, does it go in line with what we learned in Rav Elchanan Wasserman? The idea that every person is expected to stop, think, analyze, question, and reach a conclusion. Hey, I have a responsibility.
One with an IQ of 85, 90, you have...
That's different.
Parents, all right, let's say 100. Average person. You're brought up, you know, the Jews use is subhuman or whatever, this is sickly youth. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get rid of them. You should. They're ruined. They're exterminated. Better they shouldn't have been born, as the angel said. But it doesn't mean that I know for sure that Hashem makes them guilty of, in any way that in judgment. If they sacrifice, they're not doing it for the money.
Yeah, we usually say not that way. Really? We usually say that a person is responsible for the question.
Because, you know, I don't say you shouldn't kill them. That's an easy decision because they're evil. But did they become evil? In other words, we're learning, and that's what I'm asking you that question, because I'm learning that with you. We're learning that everybody, I mean, it's a very high-minded thing, but when we review what you learn each day and realize, is that real? Is that authentic? Does that resonate with me? That's an obligation at a certain level already.
I always say that there's a difference between observing a religion when it doesn't involve hurting anyone and when it does involve hurting someone. Meaning, I can understand a person says, you know, let's say Pascal's wager. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's not true. But if it's not true, then there's an eternal perdition waiting for me. So I might as well be a good person. No problem, if you're good. But you can't say that when it involves pulling the trigger at someone else. That's where I say, wait, you have to really be confident. You have to really understand why this is true. And if you don't understand, then you have no right to act on someone else.
You get programmed, as you're saying, when you're 2, 3, 4 years old, this is the way to go. I'm not so sure if you're taught what's good. In other words, I don't think I'm below very stupid, but if I was programmed that way, I don't know if I would have. You know, my concept of beauty, my concept of certain modesty, my concept of certain things, I could see was very influenced by my society to a degree. Anyway, it's a long conversation.
Back to the Ramban. What? I'm sorry?
They're in such extreme conditions. Their sisters have been raped, their mothers have been raped.
That's the tough question, but you have to understand the flip side of it. If you don't hold them accountable, then where are you going to draw the line? If you don't hold a person accountable for the most basic ethic, the most basic morality, not to murder, then you've basically given an open check for the most immoral societies to exist.
You don't play God. You just say, we have to kill these people because we can't run a just society, Noahide society as we see it. But we don't say those people are necessarily evil. We say they're acting evil and they deserve to be killed.
No, there's...
A judge is somebody who blows himself up for, I don't know.
You're assuming that there are two choices. I'm looking at a third choice. I'm looking at a situation where you've captured some of these people and you have them in jail. Now, do you give them the death penalty and say, hey, these are murderers? Yeah. Or do you say they were indoctrinated? Let's just try to re-educate them.
It doesn't work. We don't do it. It's not, if you knew how to reprogram them, and we might do it. But when you do it, you end up giving them back again. So they do more murders or something.
That's a different question. But assuming you took apart that society and you dismantled it, from a Torah perspective, do we view them as responsible for their actions? That's the question we're asking here. In other areas, we would say Tinok Shenishba. In other areas, we would say a person was trained a certain way and we don't hold them accountable. I do not think we say that with regards to murder.
It's interesting. From a Torah perspective, actually, the best thing for them is that they do chew, but you do murder them, and then they're even.
I'm just saying the question here is what does the Ramban mean? Because if we take the Ramban simplistically, then you end up with very, very difficult conclusions. To say that without Torah a person knows nothing is very difficult. So I don't think we can take it that literally. Let's move forward. And certainly if a person doesn't have Torah, then every day of the year is the same, and every year of the cycle is the same. So then life is just one day leading into the other. It's no different than an animal. An animal doesn't wake up on Shabbos and say, great, it's Shabbos, unless it's Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair's animal, right? An animal doesn't wake up and say, it's Shemitah, I can't work this year. The Ramban is giving us an insight into how we view the holidays. That the holidays also elevate us. You know, Rav Huttner was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. So Rav Huttner is quoted as having said that this is my humanity. Everything else I wear because I need it. But a tie I wear, that's something different. He's also quoted as saying, I don't know if it's true, I don't know if he said it, and I don't know if it's accurate scientifically, but he's also quoted as saying that becoming a grandparent is also a sign of humanity, because animals only know how to take care of their children, but grandchildren is a non-entity by then. What does my child have to do with me? And that's, so also he used to say that's when you gain in your humanity. So think about it, says the Ramban. God created all the little things in the world, every type of vermin, for the benefit of man. Because there's no other reason why Hashem would create plants. They don't recognize their creator. Why would Hashem create an animal? It doesn't recognize its creator. So if we say the point of creation was so that man recognizes his creator, so then why create this world that has so many things that do not fathom their creator? So that's another broad discussion. Ibn Ezra, in his introduction, says there's a big secret about why all the galaxies were created. And it's not what you think. You think all the worlds were created for you, man. No. But then he doesn't tell us what the big secret is. Why were all the galaxies created? He leaves that. So that's a secret. So the Ramban over here is saying a concept which is supported by the Mishnah and the end of Kiddushin. The Mishnah and the end of Kiddushin says that look around you. Did you ever see a fox that has to be a tailor? Did you ever see a lion that has to be a carpenter? Did you ever see any animal that has to make a livelihood? They all live off of nature and they manage fine. And they were all created to serve me. So shouldn't I certainly manage fine without taking up a livelihood? Why do I have to be a carpenter or a tailor or something else? So it must be because I messed up my behavior. If I'd be behaving the way I shouldn't need to deal with all the other things. But that line in the Mishnah, they were all created to serve me. The question is, do we take that literally? Is that really our perspective, that everything on the planet was created to serve the human being? So the Ramban takes it literally. The Ramban says everything on the planet was created to serve the human being. And we'll conclude with an interesting story. Some of you already heard this once. This guy comes to the Shabbos table, he's a guest, and they serve chicken. They serve chicken. So his eyes grow wide, and he looks at the chicken, and he takes his fork and knife, and he slices a piece of the chicken, and he eats it, and he starts chewing it, and he says, "This chicken is delicious. This chicken is out of this world." He jabs another forkful out of the chicken and says, "This chicken is out of this world. I can't believe this chicken is tremendous." He's taking another, and he's slobbering already over the chicken. And he picks up his knife and jabs it into the chicken. He says, "This chicken is out of this world. I am so happy they killed this chicken." So, we think about it, like that's how you want to set a Shabbos table. You're so happy they killed this chicken, right? But the Ramban is telling us there's truth to that. You know, we don't like to think about it when we sit down to eat chicken, that there was a chicken that had to die in order for you to eat it. So he said, "Yeah, it's a chicken." But wait, it was a life. You know, I spent a decade as a vegetarian. I was a kid, and at one point I said to myself, "Why can I eat chickens? Just because I'm smarter than them? If chickens were smarter than them, they'd be eating me." And I stopped eating meat. I stopped eating meat for about a decade. I stopped eating meat. I didn't eat nothing. Spent about a decade vegetarian. Then I learned a little more. Then I understood a little bit more about what's going on in the world. But I'm saying the idea, that this idea gives us a tremendous strength and perspective in life when you look at things. Because otherwise, b'mit, why are we eating chickens? Just because we're smarter? Ah, no, the chicken is serving a purpose. What was the chicken created for? The chicken was created to help humanity move forward in the service of Hashem. I need the nutrients that the chicken has to offer me, so I'm going to eat the chicken, and that's good for the chicken. Now the chicken served its purpose. That's what Chazal tells the story of Elio at Mount Carmel, right? The two cows were going to be offered. One was going to be offered for the pagan god. The other one was going to be offered to Hashem. And then Elio challenged the prophets of the Baal. "Let's see if a fire comes down for you or for me, and we'll see who's Hashem." And obviously a fire did not come down from them. And a fire comes down from heaven for Elio. And there's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So the two cows are there, and one cow won't budge. The cow that was supposed to go for the pagan idol won't budge. And they start pulling at it, tugging at it, and it won't move. So the other cow waltzes on. So Elio walks over to the first cow and says, "Why don't you go?" And the cow says, "We're siblings. We're twins. We both ate from the same mother. Why should I go to the pagan god and he gets to serve Hashem?" That's the perspective. He gets to serve Hashem. Right. He's fulfilling his purpose in the world. And what am I doing? So that's, in a nutshell, that's this perspective of the Ramban gives us a perspective on a lot of things.